This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live. I'm starting to wave at popping on here on Instagram Live and here on Pet Life Radio, here with live with Dr. Jeff. Next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff, as well as my simulcast on IG Live. And here for you, here for your pets. Any questions you have, now is the time to ask. I have to tell you, I got some great, great feedback on last week's show. It was my 500th show on Pet Life Radio. In fact, I said, Mark, I found my notebook from back to 2016 when, you know, I put down subjects that I want to talk about. We didn't have as many followers at that point, so I couldn't always rely on the questions from you. It's interesting. That's a long time ago. This is my 10th year. So yeah, pretty amazing. Anyway, for those of you who happened to catch yesterday, it was just a great, great show. We stayed on for way longer than 30 minutes. And he's, you know, I always tell people to look at this guy who is so large and physically large, you know, former Mr. Everything, you know it, you name it. He was there on the Gladiators. He was Titan. Anyway, Steph, how you doing? Stephanie, you missed it last week. But anyway, he's such a great guy. As you can see, he's so warm. He's very welcoming. As I told you, he actually changed his plans to come back and be here on Sunday because he was supposed to come back Sunday night. And I told him, oh, bummer, you know, Mike, it would have been great. I wanted you to have any. He said, no, we're coming. We're coming. His wife, Mona, here in the background going, tell him we'll be there. Tell him we'll be there. So that's the kind of guy he is. And it was a great show. And as you could tell, just from spending a half hour, 45 or probably an hour with us last week, he is such an animal lover, but dogs, he is so crazy about his dogs. And, you know, talking about his past dogs, talking about what's going on with Panda, one of his dogs now. And basically, it brings him to tears. And that's the kind of guy he is. And he, from the minute I met him, he came in, I mean, many, many years ago. And he's been that great kind of guy. So anyway, for those of you who saw the show, I'm thrilled. I sent the tape out. We have it on tape. And it's going to be also on my podcast, the recorded episodes. But regardless, a super, super terrific guy. So this week I had I don't get a lot of emergency surgeries, but this week I got two back to back. So on Thursday, one of my neighbors lives literally three houses down the street with this magnificent two-year-old giant schnauzer. And dog's name is Tipper. Barks, sits on a balcony and barks at the world go by. He sees me. He like jumps up. I said, no, it's two stories high. Don't jump. But he's really such a sweet dog. Anyway, he was dribbling blood. And that can mean a lot of things. Now, in a dog that's intact, male, the number one reason for dripping blood like that is from prostatitis, prostatic hyperplasia, or prostatic infection. But he was neutered already. Neutered dogs don't usually get that. Well, how about playing with other dogs? Maybe actually a bite right there on the tip of the you-know-what. And he's all by himself. He doesn't go playing in these environments. So lastly, he is a schnauzer, and they are known for their potential bladder stones. 2-year-old dog. So I took a picture. I'm posting this. You can see it on Instagram. He must have had 20 or 30 stones in that bladder, and no wonder why he was urinating blood, because it was so sad. So there's no way that those are going to pass. They were just way too big. So sure enough, we had to go in surgically, do what's called a cystotomy, open him up, take out the stones, flush him, reverse flush him from the opening in the bladder, pushing out. So any stones that were in the urethra going through, we would push them back into the bladder so I can grab them and remove them. Then we pass catheters both ways from the bladder out and from out into the bladder, and no obstructions. Everything was nice and smooth. So anyway, he's doing great. Next one is also a fairly young dog, a gorgeous yellow Labrador named Prince. And he came in on Wednesday, subtly ADR. Now, ain't doing right. Now, you have to know that this dog already had surgery for eating, I think it was a sock, a big sport, athletic socks. He's crazy. He's a Labrador. And Labradors, as you know, will eat anything that's not bolted down or doesn't eat them first. So here we are, and I'm waving. So anyway, here we are, and I'm saying, okay, let's take an x-ray. Some gas pockets. It wasn't the classic blockage picture. So I said, look, we'll get our fluids. We'll give them something to soften, you know, to help move things through. And hopefully whatever it was, if it was eat something he ate, and I grilled the owner. Is it any way he got into anything? No. After the Cincinnati, we watched him like a hawk, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. P.S. comes back that night. He goes to an emergency. He's worried. They do an ultrasound, and they also agree that it's not crystal clear, but this dog probably is blocked. He wasn't eating. When a Labrador doesn't eat, you know there's something going on. So anyway, sure enough, they weren't going to do it that night, Thursday night. So I said, no, I'm going to do it. So come in Friday. He comes in Friday. We did it yesterday. 2 days ago. And it was we're going through the intestine and from the stomach, and you work all the way. You just got to go loop, loop. It's pretty long, several 30 feet. Anyway, so we finally get to this big blob thing. It's kind of soft, but you can see dead stop in the small intestine. So, and the rest of the intestine is all swollen and irritated. As this thing was trying to push through, you can see it was just wreaking havoc. Anyway, so I cut just in behind it. You know, you want, ideally when you're doing intestinal surgery, you don't want to cut right where the intestine is all inflamed. You want to try to get it where it's not so inflamed. So you do it sort of at the very end of it, depending on which direction it's going, so that where the tissue is still normal. We squeeze this thing out, and it is covered. It looks like a big, for lack of a better term, turd, but it didn't feel like it. So anyway, remove it. We go ahead. We close up the intestine. We flush the bladder. We close them up. And then after surgery, I start running this thing underwater. What the heck is it? So it is a little stuffed toy. It's like this big, looks like a bear. You can see the nose. You can see the eyes. One ear, the other ear isn't there anymore. One of the legs is there. The other one's not there anymore. Anyway, so I'm shocked. I really am. How the heck? This guy, he doesn't have kids. Where did this come from? So I asked. I said, I told him what it was, what he found. And I said, no, but it was a little kid's, like a little stuffed teddy bear or something. He goes, oh yeah, I got that for him. I go, you what? You actually gave your Labrador retriever a thing this big and you expect him to play with it? Well, yes, that was the most expensive stuffed little toy he ever. And by the way, hey, LA Pet Care, how you doing? Lauren. So anyway, when you think about it, that toy, I'm not going to tell you what he was quoted at one of the big hospital chain that owns a zillion hospitals in the country, and it's three letters. I'm not going to tell you because you already know what I'm talking about. $14,000 they quoted him. That's insane. $14,000 for that surgery. It was half, not even half that. It is totally crazy. So anyway, what can I tell you? If you can get a second opinion, even on a specialist, yeah. And the problem is that this hospital chain has some really great doctors. Some of the best. In fact, the guy that comes and does my heavy duty endoscopy and ultrasounds is formerly from this group, and he's on his own now. He's doing mobile, which is great for him. No overhead. Oh, it's phenomenal. He's fantastic. He was trained there. He was there. He went to Davis. So they have good doctors, but it's so corporate. And when things get so corporate, there's one focus when it comes to corporate medicine. And that is what? Anybody raise hands? Profit. It's all about the profit. And it's so annoying to me because there's no reason that these things should be as expensive as they are. I do them. I know what it takes. I know the equipment that goes. I know the training. It's that's highway robbery. And yet, you know, they have a big name. They're number one. They have more hospitals than any privately held or publicly held chain in the world. So they feel they can do anything they want. And it just drives me nuts. Anyway, So just a word from the wise, sometimes wise, is ask around, get second opinions, talk to other specialists. If you could find like a place that has an independent doctor, or there are a couple of places here in LA now, two of my very good friends are both board certified surgeons. They have their own place and they are so much more reasonable. So, because they don't have to prove to any large corporate parent that their acquisition was worth their money. And that's exactly what's going on. So it's crazy. So we had a question here from Shannon. Can you give your opinions on coyotes? There's been a sick, mangy senior coyote in Brentwood since the fires. You know, that is a really good question. And I have not encountered that. Oh boy. You can try calling one of the city animal rescues. They have animal control of, I know West LA has an LA City animal control, and see what they can do. There were some places that specialized in wild animals. Wildlife Way Station, for one. I don't know if they're still in business. Wildlife Way Station, and see if they can do something. It's not very, on the one hand, as a pet, as an animal lover, you want to at least feed them, give them something. So, you could maybe get some doxycycline and put it in some food and feed her. I mean, it's scary. And on the other side of the coin though, is where I live in Beverly Wood, there's something called Circle Park. Those of you who know that are familiar with the area, you know Circle Park. So one of my good friends also, a client was walking his gorgeous golden retriever early in the morning, and there were two cats that were literally mangled. He said it was the most horrific scene, and obviously probably coyote got to them. And he said he only hoped that somebody would come and clean the mess up before moms started going into COVID, which they do all every day, going into the park with their kids, especially now during the summer. So, oh my God. So, look, they are in survival mode, especially after the fires, because it took a lot of their protective territory away. So now they're coming down, spending more time down in what we call the flats, and it is definitely a scary, scary problem. So, but I would try to get a hold of any of those places that would do wild animal rescues, and or just the city animal control. I mean, most likely, city animal control is going to catch it and put it to sleep. That's my hunch, especially if it's not well. And look, it could be dangerous if it's not well. I mean, dangerous to even people, depending on if it has a disease. We just don't know. Or is it just starvation? Speaking of animal control, we had this dog running around my hospital Friday, and a pit bull that was very, very friendly. So friendly that when you called it over, it came. And it was wearing a choke chain, and that's it. No leash, no ID tag, just a choke chain. So we took it inside. The first thing we did is scan it for microchip. No microchip. So the next thing we do, I talked to one of our rescues that does a lot of pitties, and she recommended, wanted to just see if it's dog aggressive, because that makes a big difference. So for them, you know, will they take a pity in that is dog aggressive when there are so many that they have already that are in foster trying to place that are not dog aggressive? And typically the fate of one such dog is they put him to sleep. Anyway, I walk a dog right near the cage. The dog went ballistic. It's like, oh my God, that's terrible. But he's so sweet. Oh, I mean, really crazy sweet dog. Jumps up on you, major licking. His tail is wagging a mile a minute. He loves people. So what do? There's a rule that I didn't want to, but you know, I didn't want to put him to sleep, period. So, but what are you going to do? My hospital is closed on the weekends. I have nobody there. I already, you know, I kept him the first night, but I couldn't keep him any. Friday night, we're closed. We're closed and gone until Monday morning. So that wouldn't work. So I called basically the local animal shelter. We have a sister hospital called Shelter Vet that is literally right next door, part of the West LA Animal Shelter. That's why they call it Shelter Vet. So anyway, in fact, my good friend, Dr. Gary Adams, who I wanted to come join me at Value Vet, he became the veterinarian there. So anyway, I took the dog in, told them what happened, and they see this dog, and he's so sweet that they said, "No, we're gonna take him. We'll keep him. We'll work with our trainer. We'll see what we can, and get him to like these animals better." And that was it. So I dropped them off there, and that was so cool because I was so happy that they really, really wanted this dog. They felt that they could work with him. So that was super cool. Yeah, my sister says Wildlife Way Station is closed. I don't know if any of you help us here. If any of you know any of those, there used to be, there was Shambhala. That was Tippi Hedren's place. They might take in some wild stray animals. Look that one up, Shambhala. And it's in Southern California. It's, I think, Agoura Hills or someplace like that. It's maybe an hour drive. It's not that bad. And it's a really cool facility. So anyway, we got to take a quick break here for our stations that want to advertise here, especially on Pet Life Radio. So don't go away. I have some other questions. I want to tell you a story about this, another dog. And we'll be back after these short messages. Be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, so we're back live. So, first of all, you saw that about it's called Wild Care of Southern California website. Try that. Okay, thank you, my cloud chaser. And then, hello, Sharon, how are you? Okay. So I have a cat that I inherited with my marriage 2 years ago, and I'm waiting for more. Tell me about the cat. Some hot stuff. Okay. All right, so before we go, and my sister just sent a wildlife list. Okay. Jill, I don't see it. Did you hear? Okay. Anyway, let's go back to the vomiting and the aspirating. So yes, it's very possible. So anyway, first of all, two things. Number one, mild pneumonias can sound just like kennel cough. Okay. And many of us, when we have a dog come from that kind of environment, where if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks, it's probably a duck, comes from a shelter, comes from a rescue group, acting fine, everything is perfect except that cough. Yet you were just assuming it's kennel cough. In other words, we don't always, because a lot of times these are rescue dogs, we don't always sit and spend the rescue's money and take x-rays. We listen to the chest. If it sounds okay, the dog is happy in every other way except for this dry, hacky, non-productive cough, we treat it as kennel cough. Now, could it have been a mild pneumonia? And because of that, it was just getting worse? Then the answer is yes. Another thing is, if it does started vomiting for whatever reason, then it could have aspirated and then it became a pneumonia. So they're all possibilities. I mean, the first thing you do, you're going to treat it almost the same. Many of the same antibiotics, doxycycline works great. Clavamox works great. Some of the enrofloxacins work great. But you want this time, you got to take an x-ray. So when we have something that we start treating for something simple because we suspect it to be simple, but it doesn't respond, then yes, you got to take the next diagnostic step. And in this case, it would be x-ray. And then you would see the pneumonia and then treat accordingly. If it gets really, really bad, there are some tests you can do to test the bugs. If there's some aspiration or something comes up, if it can be cultured, there's something we should do is transtracheal wash. And that is put some fluid saline, sterile saline down into the lungs, rout them off, start them coughing, catch some of that sputum and then test that. So, but there are, a lot of times, mostly we're just going to try some heavy duty antibiotics. So some hot stuff. I don't know if you were going to ask more about the cat that you, is everything okay with the cat that you inherited? College is helping for senior dogs to add to, okay. So You know, most of the joint supplements have some sort of PSG GAT in it, polysulfated glycosamine or glycans, which is good for collagen. So I don't have any particular separate medicine or supplement for just the collagen. Most of, as I said, most of the joint supplements out there are going to promote healthy joint. And again, I'm being really honest. There have been studies where they followed with X-ray groups of dogs that had symptoms and had were put on these medications, these supplements, and groups that were not. And they followed them with X-ray. And there were two issues that are interesting. Number one, the X-ray showed no difference. But when the clients filled out their reports, their poll, if you will, the vast majority did see improvement on the dogs that were given the supplement, which is interesting because there was no radiographic difference. But a lot of the opponents, all right, from this study said, you won't be able to really tell an X-ray anyway. What they should have done, of course, it would have been way more expensive, is not X-ray. They should have followed up with MRIs. Because the MRIs would have given much more detail to see, is actually the joint surface being improved by these medications? I don't know if one such study has been done yet, but it's interesting that despite the fact that there was no radiographic improvement, the owners of the dogs in the statistically significant number of owners in the group that did receive the real thing and not the placebo did say that their dogs were doing better. And by the way, it was double blind. So nobody knew what their dog was getting, except obviously the people putting on the study. So anyway, I thought that was very interesting. Okay. Three dogs. Hold on, I'm getting to another one. And I just, anyway, we can train a prey dive. Hold on. A couple of weeks ago, unless she doesn't get a rumor, a lot of dogs know the airborne. And that's right. And yeah, that's a comment that a lot of these dogs, that, in fact, that's why I never liked, especially more recently, in the last 15, 20 years, I hated the term kennel cough. Because kennel cough, so many people don't kennel their dogs, but they go to the dog park, they go doggy daycare, they do this, they meet dogs and on the street, they walk their dogs with their friends. It's live in LA cough. Go to the dog park cough. Go to Third Street Promenade cough. Go to the groomer cough. Go to the vet cough. It's everywhere. Go to Rodeo Drive and Beverly Drive cough. Wherever you take your dogs, trust me, other people are taking their dogs. And that other dog does go to Runyon Canyon, does go to the dog park, does go to Beverly Drive. So you think that you're safe? No. So when people say, should we get them? I don't need that Bordetella or the influenza vaccine because I don't go to those places. Does your dog ever go outside? Because if it does, you want to get the shot. So it is airborne. That's a great point. Thank you. And they pick up that way too. Anyway, we can train a prey drive dog that no pay attention to offering a treat while they're watching a cat. They remain prey driven. Is that true? Well, I would say there are ways to do it. And the goal is to try to associate that negative sign, which is in this case, that aggression towards, say, a cat. And so they have that prey drive, turn it into something positive. That every time he sees a cat, okay, you're going to have him to sit, and he gets a reward for not going after. He's got to sit and stay, and he gets a treat. So you don't want to, that's important. You don't want to have them continue to drive. Now, sometimes at the beginning of any of these, you may have to, so there's my phone. Of course, the day I forget to unplug it. So the most important thing is that you may need at the beginning, I hate to do this long-term and for the entire course of training, but at the very beginning to bring them down, you want to talk to your trainer, talk to your veterinarian, you may want to give them something like a trazodone, like a Xanax, something as simple as a Benadryl, just something if you really will stay natural, I have a product called Chill. It may not be strong enough to fight this prey drive, but it just brings them down a level to the point where you can actually work with them. It slows that brain down, that kill prey drive. So, but no, it's not easy, but it can be done. And I know this pit bull, for example, when I brought it in to the shelter right away, they said, well, we'll get it to one of the trainers they work with and we'll work on that drive. Another thing that's also important, sometimes these dogs behave differently when they're in a cage or on leash with you because they are there either protecting their domain, which is their cage, or they're protecting you if they're on the other end, you're on the other end of the leash. So sometimes when you get them in an environment where there's running around, no leashes, no confinement, and they're truly playing with other dogs, a lot of these dogs that were thought to be hopeless, take them to a dog park and they are having a blast. So that's something that could be also trained out of them, but you want to work with a trainer. All right. Jane, you have a request, if it's truly a request. Now, dog had a deep tooth cleaning months ago, and I want more. She keeps rubbing each ear on the carpet consistently. What do you do? Well, obviously, if she's rubbing an ear, it may not be directly directed to a tooth. You got to have the ears checked. Clean them out well. Have your veterinarian look down the ear canal. Make sure that the canal is clean. Make sure the eardrum is intact. And make sure that you're dealing with not a tooth problem, especially if the teeth were just done and they still look great. But now it sounds like you're dealing with an ear problem. So totally, it's very important to have that, okay? Have that taken care of. All right, Lana, how are you? Okay. So yeah, it also could be a tooth still. And again, maybe you think he's rubbing at the ear, but in fact, rubbing at the tooth. So again, even though the teeth were cleaned, it would be wise to check way back there. And also another thing, a lot of times when we do these teeth, if they look good and it seems like a basic teeth cleaning, we don't always do dental x-rays. A lot of times the clients don't want it. It's a little more expensive. So we clean the teeth. And we may need, in a case like this, where it looks good on the outside, but there seems to be some discomfort, then I would highly recommend doing dental rads as well. All right. Lenny, how you doing? And it's interesting you say some hot stuff about, doesn't even care about the treat. That's the kind of the animal that may need a little, a little sedation just to start working with him. It is interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure that it's impossible. But I mean, some dogs, I mean, look, interestingly, my dogs, I have four cats. When, depending on what they're coming, they're near each other for. When I let my dogs out, for example, I take them out in the morning, all right? And they will pass by one of my cats, and the Frenchie, who's the crazy one, will walk right by, nothing, not even a concern. Like come feeding time, when I let them into the kitchen, I have to separate my dogs when they eat. Some are eating in the kitchen, some are outside the backyard. So when he comes in the kitchen, knowing he's eating, he will go nuts if he sees one of the cats. In other words, don't you dare touch my food. And then they don't even care about his food, but he sees that. So that's why when these dogs have this drive, this prey drive, it can be circumstantial. We don't always know what are the circumstances that this is going on. So it might be wise to delve a little deeper into it. All right. Lily can't look off after weeks, even though she doesn't go to the groomer. Oh yeah, no, it's very important to know that the kennel cough vaccine, don't call it kennel cough vaccine, call it Bordetella, call it influenza, airborne, remember that. So, okay. That's throughout the day. Okay, poor cat, no. All right, let's see. I think we're good. Any other last questions before we go? Give me a chance, ask a question. If not, as you know, a lot of ways to get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me here at Pet Life Radio, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com. And I will get all those emails, Dr. Jeff at DrJeff.com. If you have an emergency, something that you think is an emergency, knowing how expensive and absurd the emergency clinics are, as you know, I'm chief veterinary officer, co-founded AirVet with my son, Brandon, who is just doing an amazing job with AirVet. And I've done thousands, literally, I have over 4,000 virtual visits. I have sent, I think, maybe 100, 150 to emergency. That's how infrequent these emergencies are, actually emergencies that you can't do something first. And it's amazing. So don't always panic. When you call your veterinarian and the nighttime emergency message says, hi, thanks for calling. If you have an emergency, go to such and such emergency clinic. No, try doing air vet, something first, because most 90, 95% of the time, those are not emergencies. They can wait. You'll get some suggestions and you see your regular doctor in the next morning, the next day, and it would be a third, a quarter, literally a fraction of the price. So anyway, and you'll be working with somebody that you know and you trust. So it's a big difference. Anyway, any questions during the week, you can always get a hold of me here on Pet Life Radio or Dr. Jeff at drjeff.com. And we will see you next week. If you have a really good question, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to share it because, I mean, everybody, I hope everybody's learning from the other things that we've talked about today. And it's important to know that whatever problem you have, I can guarantee other pet parents are either having it or have had it and will have it in the future. So it's a good thing for everybody. Have a great week, everybody. If you're in Southern California, it is a gorgeous day today. And we will see you next week, same bad time, same bad channel here on Pet Life Radio and on Dr. Jeff's Instagram Live, worms_TBM. See you next week.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.